The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Ben Wright Human, author of the webcomics Cospain and the Letters of the Devil, and you are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 204. I hope you're doing well out there as you're listening to my voice come across the airwaves. I am doing fantastic. I'm doing well. Of course, I'm always happy to bring a new edition of the PVD Cast to you, and this edition is entitled Remake Revolution 8. I'd like to recap real quickly for new listeners just what the heck Remake Revolution is. It's a game show that was created by Mike McGee of Mike McGee TV fame. He's a YouTuber that has a great channel. You definitely need to check it out. Just go over to YouTube, search for Mike McGee TV. He's got all different types of reviews on movies and pop culture things, and he does Remake Revolution periodically. And what it is it's basically a little competition where two teams take a movie that's usually subpar and just flat out remake it based on a series of criteria. Now, longtime listeners of the PVD Cast know that Brian Lau and I have participated in two different Remake Revolutions. We won one, we lost one. Well, I'm back at it by myself, taking on Max from the Three Geeks podcast in a little Remake Revolution action from the end of July at the Pittsburgh Wizard World convention. The little twist that we have here is that Max and I both decided that since we didn't have partners, we would pick a partner from the audience to come on down and to help us remake the film Mortal Kombat. And so it was a lot of fun. I hope that you enjoy it. I will state this. I know you might be sitting at home going, wait a minute, Remake Revolution 8. Well, I'm going by the numbering system that Mike has established. So if you look for Remake Revolutions on connected with the PVD Cast, you're only going to find two other ones. I think one of them is labeled as number 6. And the other one, I don't even know what it's labeled under. I think it's just under the Wizard World coverage that I did for an episode based on my experiences with Wizard World. So I just wanted to explain that. Please don't get confused. There's not 7 other episodes that are connected to the PVD Cast, but there are 7 other episodes connected to Mike McGee TV. So again, check him out on YouTube. Check out Three Geeks as well. ThreeGeeks.ninja is their website. And before I get to this fantastic episode, I need to remind you that World's Greatest Comics is a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. They're located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, and various other collectibles. So stop on over to the store, say hi to the fine folks over there, check them out online at wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook at WG Comics. But no matter if you stop by the store or you find them online, let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from me, John Orlando, and the PVD Cast. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I compete one more time in Remake Revolution.
Let's get ready to remake!
I Welcome to a Three Geeks in Association with Mike McGee TV Remake Revolution. I'm going to pass it off to Mr. Mike McGee live from New Jersey.
All right,
Mike,
Zordon.
Go ahead and kick it off.
All right, live from the exotic locale known as New Jersey. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike McGee. Welcome to a little Wizard World version of a game show I like to call Remake Revolution. You can catch past episodes over at my YouTube site, Mike McGee TV. And what we usually do on here is we team up some people to come up with movie pitches for franchises that have had a good run or not so good run, and we feel it's about time they get a reboot or a remake of some kind. So what we usually do is I usually get someone from Team Three Geeks Woo. Against somebody else, and this seems to be a continuing trend and feud here. We have a Three Geeks member, Max.
What's up?
Against PVD cast host, John.
Hey, everybody.
And I understand we have some audience member participation going on.
Yeah,
audience members helping out here.
On my team, Mike, we have
Spencer.
And on my team, we have
Caleb.
Caleb, I hope you like Mortal Kombat 2.
Mortal Kombat
2. So, as you might have guessed from a little bit of that dialogue, the movie property that we're going to be remaking here today for you is, of course, the infamous Mortal Kombat video game franchise. Before I get into all the different areas that I'm going to ask each team to remake, I'm curious, though, what is each team's kind of past history with Mortal Kombat? Let me start over with Max's side.
My history with Mortal Kombat begins at a very young age where I wasn't allowed to play Mortal Kombat. my most vivid memory is probably the first movie. I've definitely played a bunch of the games as the years go, but what sticks in my head is probably, yeah, the first movie is my favorite Mortal Kombat bit of media.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. Mostly the movie. I've played some of the games, but not a whole bunch of them. But yeah, definitely that first movie was like the main Mortal Kombat thing that I was into.
It'd be really funny if one of the people from the crowd was like, I don't know what Mortal Kombat is.
I should prefer Injustice to Mortal Kombat. I think that was just a better game.
That's the one with the Hadouken, right?
Sure.
This is probably going to be a shock to many people, but I'm not a huge video game guy, so I did not play a lot of Mortal Kombat, like here and there. And I had actually never seen the movie until earlier this week when I watched it.
So, wait, did you watch Mortal Kombat 2?
I just watched the first one.
Oh, sorry. Man. No, you got to watch 2.
Okay, well, we'll put that on the list of things to watch. So, Caleb, how about you?
Well, I grew up on Mortal Kombat. I played all the games up until the terrible Sub-Zero one. And then I watched the first movie, and then after the second one, I was done.
When you saw that second movie, did you go into it super excited? And then when you heard the theme song, you got like riled up, and then the movie started?
Not at all. I watched the trailer beforehand, and it was...
The trailer was bad enough.
I don't think I've seen it.
It was a bad time for everybody involved.
It's got such stellar acting, though. Like, too bad you... will die. Like, I love that line. Cinematic glory right there. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
I would like to say just real quickly, though, Mike, the one piece of appreciation I got out of watching this film for the first time is that Liu Kang's hair, man, oh man, is that a coif that you could only have in 1995. Man, is it? It's flowing.
That was,
it's amazing.
That was a powerful coif.
That was.
Yeah. That's some lion's mane stuff we've got going on. So definitely. All right, let's get started here with our remake revolution here. What we usually do is we divide it up into about 3 or 4 separate categories. We're going to see how many of these we can get through. And then at the very end, I'll determine a winner for each category. And whoever has the most points on their side, so to speak, they will be the Remake Revolution winners for this round. So we start off first with the pitch, because that's important for all movies, whether they're originals or remakes or what have you. What is the pitch? What are you selling us on for this movie? What's the kind of story outline, maybe? a specific angle or focus you want to have throughout the movie. Let's go with John and Caleb.
Okay, the pitch is this. We are in a near-distant future where criminals are sent off to an island prison. That prison is overseen by, of course, Shang Tsung. As the inmates become available for parole, they must actually fight in Mortal Kombat in order to get their freedom. And throughout the years, very few can actually win, because even if they win, they're so badly hurt and injured that they end up passing away. And to tie in the magical powers, the magical powers come from some mystical energies on that island that are only sparked up or whatnot when the actual combat is taking place inside this ring that they have created called the Construct. Rumors start to circulate that, you know, this is going on, so Sonya Blade and Jax are going to investigate to try to shut down the prison. So they put Liu Kang in as undercover to try to get more information. And so basically, along with a little side plot of Johnny Cage being wrongfully accused for a death and being sentenced to the prison, basically it's Blade, Kang, and Jax, you know, freeing Johnny from the prison, lots of fighting Sung, and then the prison is shut down.
From what I'm gathering, it's almost sort of a take on stuff like Battle Royale to some extent.
Yeah, a little bit of Battle Royale mixed with Law and Order.
These are the stories of the prosecutor.
Max and Spencer, your pitch.
All right. Well, I have meticulously planned, and Spencer agrees. What we're going to do is a soft reboot. The first Mortal Kombat movie happened. And this is our movie would take place after that one, with Mortal Kombat Annihilation never happening. We don't recognize it as happening. It's all somebody's, you know, LSD dream. it's going to be a soft reboot. It's going to be, you know, 10 or however 12 years later, the forces of the Shadow Realm are once again knocking at our gates, and we must assemble our, you know, crew of fighters to repel them. It's just going to be like a straight up tournament movie. I want it to be as much like Mortal Kombat as possible. So there's not a whole lot of extra plot other than we got to stop these guys or else the world ends. The twist, or that's a little, would be a little different, is that, like, everyone on Earth now knows that these things happen, and, you know, it's more of a, you know, it's more of a common knowledge that we need to gather people to do the Mortal Kombat. So that would be a little difference, but pretty much a straight up fight movie. But yeah, it would be a sequel to the first one.
Already this first round has got me going between these two ideas a lot, because there is a very, very in-depth mythology to Mortal Kombat. I know that much. Like, NetherRealm or with Shao Kahn and all that stuff. Like, there's a whole, like, built-up mythology of it on its own surrounding all these characters. And so I know one group's going with a continuation of a version of that from the first movie, and the other team is going with kind of a complete kind of revamp or redo, but still incorporating elements of it in there. So I'm going to have to think on that one for a while. All right. So that was the pitch, first round.
Yeah.
Second round here, we have to figure out who is going to be our writer and or director for this particular vision. Who do we feel has the chops as a writer or director to be able to bring this story to life for the modern audiences? Let's go with Max and Spencer.
I'm going to let Spencer do this one because it's very short.
We decided to go with the Russo brothers, just for the simple fact that they seem to be doing an awesome job, and they can take the same kind of tools that they did with, like, the Marvel movies to after the Mortal Kombat movie. We can even do, like, little mini spin-off movies of the different characters, so they can keep the franchise going and moving forward, and maybe have more than one Mortal Kombat movie.
Are they for both writing and directing then?
Yeah, the whole package.
Okay. John and Caleb, how about for you?
Well, for both writer and director, we have Lee Whannell.
Who?
Lee Ronell is the writer-director of Upgrade.
Okay. So, okay. I dug that movie. I begrudgingly give you a good good pick on that.
Yeah, if you've never seen Upgrade, it's a fantastic flick.
Oh, that was a sleeper of the
Australian,
year for sure.
Like, action sci-fi movie that came out at the end with that, yeah. 2017, I believe. Was it?
Yeah.
2017?
2018.
It was made for like $5 million, but it's great.
Yes. And the fighting is so good in that one because the computer chip is running the show. So the guy is fighting, but he's not making himself fight. So the way they had to like do the action is a little off, you know, because he's kind of like being pulled in a direction. It's really, really cool how they do it, and I was very, very surprised by that movie.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And you recommended it. I checked it out. It's awesome. Go see it, folks, if you haven't seen it.
All right. So, yeah, that guy.
So Max has forfeited this round.
No. Yeah. No. The Russo brothers is a better pick. I just said they made a good pick. Begrudgingly, I said that.
All right. Okay, well, that was a quick round.
Yeah, we're chugging right along.
Well, it makes sense that round should go quick because this one apparently is going to be a beast of a round. So many choices. Next up is our cast, who are the actors and actresses that are going to portray these classic legendary fighters. And I understand we have quite a roster. This is the first time I'm being alerted to how many or what characters and how many are being used for these different pitches. So what I'm going to do here for this particular round, usually I pick like, oh, I like that pick from that team or that pick from that team for different characters. Since we got so much variety possibly here, I'm going to have to go with just one side or the other. So you got to sell me on your full cast. There's no like, oh, I'll take your Johnny Cage, but I'll take their Shao Kahn.
Mike, I'm going to have to put in some sort of... I don't like this, man. I think you should write down each one of our picks and pick which one's better.
make it easy on yourself, Mike. Just make it easy on yourself.
No, I mean, we'll see what I can do. We got some time for some deliberation and stuff like that. We'll see if I can figure out something. But you've got like 8 or 10.
I've got 10. Yeah, I've got 10.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go with John Steve first. Have at it, John.
All right, for Johnny Cage, I'm going a little sexy, a lot of douchey, Zac Efron.
Okay.
Hollywood, got to have the good look, but, you know, the Hollywood, get the glasses.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can do the splits.
No, Claude Van Damme. They can CG him doing the splits.
Yeah.
For Sonya Blade, I selected Gina Carano, who has been in Haywire and a couple other films. Jax to be played Deadpool. By Michael B. Jordan.
As Jax?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he is kind of Jax, so.
I mean, yeah. He can get there. That's not bad.
This one's probably a little bit of an odd pick, but Shang Tsung. I decided to pick Martin Cove because when you're talking about an evil guy that runs an evil, you know, in this instance.
Who's that guy? I'm sorry, I don't know who that
is. From Karate Kid.
Cobra Kai.
Oh,
Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Shang. I'm just gonna go ahead and point out the whitewashing right here. Just saying.
Well, guess what?
Traditionally Chinese character. Just saying.
No, Liu Kang. I thought Devin Aoki, who was in Sin City as Miho.
Gender swap too.
So yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay.
Whitewashing. Raiden.
You're subverting expectations crazily here, John.
Raiden, who actually would have a bit role, is kind of like the since he was the only one that survived, he would like be the informant. I kept, because I think you need to have that little tip of the hat to the old movie, I kept the man that played Liu Kang in there as Raiden, Robin Shu, I believe it's pronounced.
Robin Chow, I believe.
Yeah, Chow.
Is his hair coming with him?
His hair.
Yeah, the coif is coming back.
That's right.
It'll be a great coif.
It wouldn't be a Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah.
That's right. For Goro, I felt the switch would be, the switch on this one, he's not really like a four-armed alien, but he's just like... He's the henchman of Sang, and he's the biggest, baddest dude in the prison. And when you're saying biggest, baddest dude, I pick Half Hour Borgensen, a.k.a. the Mountain from Game of Thrones, to play Goro.
Okay, same.
We agree, except I would give him the forearms.
And then the last couple.
Like, oh, they also do like genetic experiments, or there's some mystical stuff involved that can play into it, since he's from a mystic realm.
I can't believe this is what I was afraid of.
And the last four, which I don't think that these folks would have very deep roles, because they would probably be the people that were in Mortal Kombat that would lose right away. For Kano, Jason Statham. Scorpion.
That's a good Kano.
Scorpion would be Emil Hirsch.
Whitewashing. With the, whitewashing.
I'm just imagining Speed Racer now.
Yeah. or Into the Wilds or whatever. Like, he's just a free-spirited Alaskan man in a ninja suit.
And then the last two characters, and actually Jason Statham was Caleb's idea, which I really, really like. This one I just quickly threw down just because of earlier today. I said Katana could be played by Joel State.
Whitewashing.
And lastly, if there's any pro wrestling fans in the audience, they'll appreciate this one. Sub-Zero is played by WCW wrestler Glacier. So
that made him leave. That made him leave.
That pick was so bad they left.
Much deserved, by the way. I wanted to leave. I'm on your team.
And dissension in the ranks.
John, that's going right next to the Madonna armpit hair thing from last week.
Oh, man.
All right, Max, you're up.
Okay. So for the Mortal Kombat fighters, again, I wanted them to be a little bit older, because this is the sequel. So Liu Kang would be played by Jackie Chan. Shang Tsung would be played by Donnie Yen. Jax would be Rock the Dwayne Johnson. Sonya Blade would be played by Charlize Theron. I'd have Katana as Sophia Botella.
I can't write that fast, Max.
Sorry.
Let me back up, Max. Who's Sophia Botella?
Sophia Botella was the bad girl in Kingsman.
Oh,
she was
okay.
the mummy.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Who is your Shang Tsung again?
Shang Tsung, I have Donnie Yen.
Donnie Yen, of course.
Much acclaimed.
Combat, not geriatric.
Much acclaimed martial artist, Donnie Yen. You'll notice that I have lots of martial artists in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Dwayne Johnson was who again?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is Jax. Katana, Sophia Boutella. Goro is the Mountain. Shao Kahn, I would have cast as Dave the Dave Bautista. Johnny Cage would be Jean-Claude Van Damme, because he can do the splits still.
Yeah. Is there anyone that's not on Social Security that's in this film?
Well, no, like
that's why it's under budget.
But look, I saw the most recent Jackie Chan movie. I saw Donnie Yen in the Star Wars movie. Those guys still kick ass.
Okay.
They still kick more ass than I ever could.
They're just relying on them being older, so.
But yeah, that too. And yeah, I want it to be realistic.
Okay.
You know the whole story about Jean-Claude Van Damme, right? Like, Mortal Kombat was originally supposed to be like a Jean-Claude Van Damme franchise vehicle or something for him.
Yeah.
But he turned it down for Street Fighter. Yeah.
But things happen. but here we are, and we're gonna make what should have happened happen.
Right in a row.
Okay, so for the what I call the Faceless Ninja Crew, this is your Sub-Zero, Smoke, Scorpion, Cyrax, like all those guys. I would just get the entire crew from the Raid. You can just plug any of them into any role, and I'm down. I don't care. So I'd get all those Raid guys. Sindel, I would cast as Kate Blanchett. And Kano, I would cast Chris.
Whitewashing, dude, come on.
No, see, Sindel is actually a white chick, and she's from the Netherrealm, so there's no actual race. Yeah. I did a little bit of homework.
He did it all on the drive here.
No, all this stuff was already picked. I did the writer director on the drive here and the pitch. But anyway, Kano would be Chris Hemsworth.
He's Australian.
Yep. He can do the accent.
What the only thing that works.
Caleb, you're on John's team.
I think Chris Hemsworth would be good because like he's never done anything bald, so this is new territory for him.
Oh, okay. Oh wow.
He's already Australian, so the accent won't be corny.
Okay.
And he rarely ever plays a bad guy, so I think
he'll
have a lot of fun.
And he doesn't have the faceplate.
Yeah, faceplates are cool.
Plate thing, so there you go.
Yeah, man.
All right. Hit iPad.
He's not reached Tom Hardy levels of having to wear a mask all the time.
But yeah, that's all my cast.
Oh, jeez. So I'm counting down. I have actually, if you factor in the fact that you clumped together the Faceless Ninjas, you each came up with 11 selections each.
All right. So.
All right.
We'll see what I can do with that a little bit later. I might stick with the all or nothing decision on the casting. I don't know yet.
And Max didn't pick my casting choice. I wanted Rick Moranis as the whoopsie guy.
Rick Moranis is retired, and we respect that.
He would come back for a second.
We respect that, Jason.
I don't respect that.
For the younger kids, you got to bring in like PewDiePie or somebody.
Oh, my God.
Somebody really annoying.
I want Scarlett Johansson as the blood code that you type in to get the...
Yes.
Because she can play anything. So. All right. Well, we do have time for this, I guess. Last round here, the marketing. Now, before I even get into each team's specific marketing, I'm laying it out there right now. That theme song, staying or going?
Oh, it's going.
Nah, it's going to stay.
Yeah.
It's got to stay. You got to at least feature that theme in there at some point in time.
At least end credits or
Will
something.
Smith will do a remix of it.
Definitely in the end credits, but somewhere throughout the movie, somebody's got to be like playing a CD player or something. And
comes Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, we'll get a Will Smith line dance going. It'll be fun.
All right. So, Max and Spencer... say staying.
Yes.
Sean and Caleb are saying gotta go.
At least an homage. Maybe not the whole song, but at the very least an homage.
Okay.
You know, like somebody starts to play it and someone knocks the player down. I'm like, dude, really?
All right. Just factoring that in there.
Yeah.
Later. BTS could do the remake.
Dude, Jason, you gotta get over that last panel, man. Alright, let me go to Max and Spencer then here for their marketing.
Video game tie-in? yeah, there'll definitely be it'll be the next Mortal Kombat game. Mortal Kombat, the movie.
Yeah, because you get that with the actors.
Yeah, yeah. All the mocap, all that stuff. We're definitely doing it 100%. And then, I think it's just basic marketing with this, other than the video game, I would have to say, would be... all I would do.
Remember back in the day when the Street Fighter movie came out and they made the Street Fighter the movie, the video game?
Yeah. And then they made the Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, the game? The movie.
So, I want that game. I want to play as Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. That can happen in my world.
They made a game. Huh?
Vote for me.
I know. I've been looking for it.
All right. Because I'm just thinking about that because it's like basically video games these days are just mini movies already. So I'm just thinking like...
You'd even have it be like a prequel. Almost.
Yeah, I'd set the game up to be a prequel to running into the movie.
Okay.
Bridges.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those do well. Sure.
But mine would be done well, and people would play the game, and it would sell billions.
Anything else marketing-wise that you'd be using?
I mean, yeah, cereal, McDonald's Happy Meals, the whole nine.
McDonald's Happy Meals.
The baby Albies.
The whole nine.
You can do the baby Albies. It's the McDonald's toy.
Yes.
Get Scorpion's exploding rib cage in your Happy Meal today.
Yeah, man. It explodes with real ketchup.
It's a McRib.
Yeah.
Hey, we should talk bad about the McRib.
Yes. No, we're marketing. We're bringing it back. This brings the McRib back for an extra round. I think everyone would go see the movie just on that. You get a free ticket with your McRib.
All right. Anything else?
That's all. That's it for us. So we'll stop making stuff up on the spot.
Yeah.
All
right.
John and Caleb, what's the marketing look like on your side?
All right. Well, we're definitely going the standard new video game across all video game systems. Maybe like a new board game, a phone game, since the kids are on the phones these days.
App.
Action figures and toy line. I'd go action figures and toy line. I'm thinking maybe like a collector's, like a Todd McFarlane run or something like that would be cool. Stick to the PG-13 rating.
I mean, what?
Gotta get the youngsters involved.
No, you go Deadpool with
hard
this.
R over here.
No, I think that's
I gotta give you credit. You're being realistic about what people would actually probably do.
He was going the Super Nintendo route with that one. Yeah. The no blood?
Yeah, no. All the blood.
Max is going Genesis.
Extra blood.
We rock with the Sega rock stars.
And this will probably answer why I voted for no to the theme song, is that this is the score and the soundtrack done by the Wu-Tang Clan. That's right. We haven't had a new album in years. An actual Wu-Tang album. Not the one that they made for, you know, only one copy and that weirdo bought it and all that. We're talking about an actual full-length Wu-Tang album. With even Old Dirty's kid.
Special guest on the main track. They'll make him the special guest live from his prison cell. So.
Yeah, there you go. So there you go. Wu-Tang Clan doing the score and the soundtrack. There you go. Protect your neck.
You brought this up then. So this is part of the marketing. The rating then. Max and Spencer, you guys are saying you're sticking to the
R rating. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And John and Caleb, you saying it's going to be more feasible as a PG-13?
Yeah, PG-13.
I'm going to interrupt this episode for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, and even collectibles. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pool system, and you'll even get 20% off all pre-ordered comics. That is a deal beyond comprehension, folks. So check them out online at wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook at WG Comics, or better yet, jump on over to the store located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and check out the store and let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from me, John Orlando, and the PVD cast.
Okay. Because there's a lot, I mean, to kind of be on your side about this, there's a lot that you can get away with now in PG-13. I don't know if y'all knew this, but has everyone seen Endgame?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I just got to throw that out there. Like, don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet. It's been like 6 months almost, or not even that. But originally, like, Disney was, I guess, very iffy about, do we want to have a decapitation on screen? And Marvel's like, we're going to do it. Okay.
They're like,
maybe you can get away with it in a PG-13 now. So.
But you got to have like cartoonish levels of blood for Mortal Kombat, because that was the whole point. Like, Mortal Kombat was the answer to Street Fighter. You know, like, Street Fighter was very clean and cartoony. Mortal Kombat was very gory and had all the blood. So,
yeah.
And plus, like, people are going to be fighting demons and four-armed, like friggin' creature dudes. So, I mean, I feel like some blood is necessary.
You need some kerosene.
Well, I know these days, like in PG-13, if they say, like, well, it's a demon or a monster, it doesn't look remotely human, they'll butcher it mercilessly on screen for you in PG-13.
Well, yeah, but the demon will be butchering the humans mercilessly, so it's
Goro, like, ripping arms off of people.
Yeah, full on. Fatality.
Well, they could cut to some wacky, itchy, and scratchy version of it, so it'd be acceptable. Right before it happens, they'll just cut to, like, Simpsons type of cartooniness.
No, the one gripe I do have with the first movie is that nobody, like, rips anybody else's spine out. So we're going to have that.
Hey, as the new guy that just watched it, that went through my mind. I'm like, I've not seen a heart pulled out of anybody, a spine ripped out. Like, it's been really...
Yeah, nothing really vicious happens in the first movie necessarily.
Yeah, no.
Even when he sucks out their souls, it's like, they just look mildly tired afterwards.
Yeah, they turn a little gray, and they go to sleep. It's night.
Yeah. Exactly.
But no, it's going to be full-on fatalities in my movie.
All right, so just going down here. We got the pitch, we got the writer and director, the cast of many, many people.
It's an ensemble cast.
Give me about 3 minutes here. I'm going to mute myself here. Would it be a cool, Jason, if you could field any, you know, questions from the audience or anything like that, or if any audience members want to test the metal against Max or John and their partners on these choices?
I got this. I'm going to split them into half so I can give half the room prizes or whatever side they choose.
All right. There you go.
If you think this team did the best job, please get over on their side of the room. If you think this team did a good job, just get on this side of the room. And then if you don't want to move, then that's your team.
Yes!
So I have a question for yours, though.
Yes, sir.
Is this sequel to the first movie?
Yes.
How's Goro in it? He falls off the cliff.
Another one?
Did you see a dead body? Did you?
No. It's okay. It's his son.
Our Goro doesn't have four arms.
Exactly.
Son of Goro.
He's got four arms. That's the better to catch himself with, my dear.
To be honest.
More handholds.
To be honest, I know I'm affiliated with Max more, but I would probably, I'm curious to see.
Actually, you know what? No. Undead Goro.
Shawshank meets Lost meets Battle Royale right there. That's the movie I think I didn't want to see.
No, we're going Undead Goro.
Undead Goro.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're gonna have to CG him up anyway. Like,
true. I mean, Max did choose Jean-Claude Van Damme, and that's kind of a
look.
Soft
I know you're on my side, okay? I chose Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's,
but you didn't
you
choose
have
Rick
no...
Moranis.
Okay, but sit here and tell me that you would not go watch the movie
Let
with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
The whoopsie guy is a big part of Mortal Kombat, right? So we got to at least have a cameo on the side of the screen.
Some but, might say it's why, the whole reason to play the game.
Why right? are you so focused on Rick Moranis?
Because it's funny and it's random. Because we were talking about Mel Brooks directing this in the car, remember?
Yeah. I would go see the Mel Brooks directed Mortal Kombat movie. But, we can have Whoopsie in there. I just don't... Why Rick Moranis? We don't even know if he can say Whoopsie.
Why couldn't he say Whoopsie?
Because I want to get the original Whoopsie guy to do it.
What if he's busy?
Nah, I'm getting...
Is he?
More busy? Like, okay, who's going to be more or less busy? Rick Moranis or the Whoopsie guy?
Rick Moranis' kids are grown. I'm going to say the Whoopsie guy
is
busier.
We don't even know if the Whoopsie guy has kids.
Or if he's even alive.
So the Whoopsie guy spent all of his Whoopsie money on crack and died like 20 years ago. But,
crack and hookers, the downfall of every Whoopsie
Cocaine's
guy.
A hell of a drug.
So...
But, I would get the original. If I was going to get anyone, and I'm not against having Whoopsie in there, get the original Whoopsie guy.
Just as a side note, on that joke, that security guard was looking at me.
I know.
Cocaine hookers.
Is there a party in here?
All right, let me explain the prizes. The losing team, their partner, is going to walk away with Mortal Kombat 2. That side of the room, they're probably going to get something anyway because we have enough stuff. And then the winning side of the room will get their first pick of prizes. And this gentleman here will win Mortal Kombat 1, the good movie, and Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Which is also pretty good for, you know, web series. Like, if you
I heard it was good.
It's
I heard
not
it was
bad.
Good.
Like, it was way better than I thought it was going to be. Not great, but still.
I do not want to see Mortal Kombat Annihilation thrown out in the parking lot when I'm walking to my car. If you want to do that at home.
I just don't want to see it.
Send me a video of you doing it.
Leave it in the...
Should we throw out plugs now while we have time?
Yeah,
why not?
Plugs.
This is a Mike McGee production, so definitely check out youtube.com/MikeMcGeeTV. I haven't done that in a while. Man, Mike, I miss you on the podcast.
Whatever, we plug them all the time on Animaniacs.
Do you?
Yeah.
I forget to plug everybody, even myself.
We're friends, me and Mike. Apparently you are not friends with Mike.
I miss Mike. I've been busy. John, he does the PVD cast. He is a total professional. I wasn't joking when I said he's probably been working on this for about 3 months.
Well, I worked on it a little bit this week. What can I say? Yeah, PVDcast.com is my own personal podcast. It's available at PVDcast.com or iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify. All the major networks out there, so check it out if you will.
And Three Geeks Podcast, please check us out. We are everywhere. YouTube, Facebook sometimes.
Raiden! Holy crap!
Oh, Raiden, wait, come here!
Raiden!
It's a Mortal Kombat
please.
Panel!
Come
in! I'm lying to the guy. He's like, what?
This is too cool. The God of Thunder himself!
I must now go consult the elder god.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. Christopher Lambert comes back as Raiden.
We are remaking the original movie.
Okay.
Like, we've made a pitch about how we would change things, who to recast, marketing, all that jazz.
That guy's my new Raiden.
Yeah.
An association with Christopher Lambert.
There you go.
Is it Lambert or is it Lambert?
It's Lambert.
I think I have it.
All right, here we go.
Wait, just real quick, I would just like to say that the toasty guy was Dan Forden. who was the sound designer and music composer for the original game.
Yeah, we're going to get that guy. We're going to get that guy.
See? And more of a reason not to change the theme
song. He's probably easier to get than Rick Moranis.
I don't know, man. I think Rick Moranis
has steadily not acted or done anything for 30 years.
Okay. Joe Pesci is the whoopsie guy.
Are we ready to...
I know.
What our remake's going to look like and which team dominates this round of Remake Revolution.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Starting off, round number one, the pitch. Over for Max and Spencer's side, they talked about a soft reboot, but that's also a continuation from the first movie, but like 12 or so years separated from it, getting the band back together, so to speak, to challenge a new threat on the Earth, and everyone is kind of aware of what Mortal Kombat is. Over on John and Caleb's side, we have island prison set up, fighting for their freedom. Some mystical powers are involved, but it's sort of a complete kind of revision of the Mortal Kombat idea and kind of giving your own spin, let's say, on it. So this was difficult, too, because I know the idea of having to continue a mythology that hasn't been explored, let's say, since the mid-90s, with the movie specifically, might be a little much for some audiences, but at the same time, you know, having to wrestle the idea of, like, let's just completely remake the concept of Mortal Kombat from the ground up. I actually went with Max and Spencer's of a continuation soft reboot. So there is some sort of continuation. That way you can hook in the older fans of that first movie and the older fans of the earlier video game franchise, because the mythology there, you know, stayed fairly close to what they did in the original video game. So round one goes to Max and Spencer.
Woo! Team 3 Geeks.
Director, Max and Spencer said the Russo brothers. John and Caleb said Lee Renault from Upgrade. I'm actually very partial towards Upgrade, so I'm going to go with Renault for director, writer, what have you. He does know how to orchestrate some pretty intense action sequences. Not saying the Russo brothers wouldn't be able to do that, but he could really get in some close quarters fighting with Renault's version. So the point goes to John and Caleb.
That sounds like a Disney Channel show, John and Caleb.
Coming soon to Disney Plus.
They go from town to town remaking movies.
Talking about remaking movies.
A sort reboot to Be Kind Rewind.
All right, here we go. The cast.
Whitewashing.
Let me get ready here. I decided I will give and take from different cast members here. Jackie Chan as Liu Kang, I'm cool with that idea.
Yes.
I think the guy still got it, and we're doing this older character's perspective. I think he can fit that pretty well. Shang Tsung, I do like the Martin Cove.
I do too, that's a good choice.
Sonya. This was a tough one, but I gotta go with Sophia Boutella. I do, she, even though she was in The Mummy, and I didn't really like The Mummy that much, she was very badass. In stuff like Atomic Blonde and stuff like that, I do like her presence on screen. So.
I'm gonna take the point.
Well, the mountain wins regardless, cool. Because you both asked for the mountain.
For the same role, too. That's really fun.
Let's go. I'm gonna go with Batista for Shao Kahn. I'm going to go with Ron Chow for Raiden, and here's my thinking about it. If this is a continuation of the previous movie, perhaps Raiden's sort of like a Time Lord. He can regenerate, change his appearance, and why not sort of change his appearance to emulate the previous Liu Kang in some way, sort of like an homage to Robin's performance in that first movie.
Or maybe even Liu Kang has, like, ascended to the new Raiden. I mean, and I don't...
Yeah.
You
can't change your pitch now.
I mean, since you're going with not my pitch, I gotta make it work somehow. But no, we cast...
Johnny Cage.
We cast Jackie Chan. That doesn't make any sense.
This goes on to say, I think, Jean-Claude Van Damme, of course. Get that.
There it is.
Jason's seen my movie.
Kano. What's up?
Nothing. Carry on.
Kano, since we are going with older, but also since, you know, Kano in the first movie got his neck snapped.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
But he can't come back, but I feel someone who could take over the role could.
But his neck got snapped in the second one, so we would just...
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Repeat what you just said. You locked up on us.
Oh, I said since he got his neck snapped in the second one, so we're completely skipping that, so that didn't actually happen.
No. Oh, no, yeah. Johnny Cage is fine. I'm talking about Kano died in the first movie.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, I got my neck snaps mixed up.
Cool. Basically, long story short, the cat, Max and Spencer went on that round.
Woo!
In marketing actually, for the most part, goes to John and Caleb because you got really prepared with that Wu-Tang soundtrack. I'm going to have to say we go for an R just because I feel that it's time for that. But here's the kicker. Theme song. This is going to be a bonus point that I'm going to have to give to Max and Spencer.
There it is.
All right, well done. Well done. Well done. Thanks.
Mike, as always, you just make excellent choices.
I expect your check in the mail now.
that was already sent yesterday. You should be getting it.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Remake Revolution number 8 is in the books. Maybe it didn't quite go the way I had hoped, but nonetheless, it was great fun. Everybody that came out to watch that competition had a blast. And thanks, Three Geeks Podcast, for the invite to come out to Wizard World Pittsburgh. Thanks to Max for competing. Thanks to our partners for jumping in at the spur of the moment. Thanks for Mike McGTV as well for hosting and, of course, coming up with a great concept. So this is probably the part of the podcast where I ask you to chime in and let me know if you like the episode. And you can get in touch with me a couple different ways. You can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is that email address. You can find me on Twitter @PVDMVP. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page @PVDcast. So however you want to get in touch with me, let me know what you think about the PVD cast. What do you think about this episode or whatever? I should let you know where you can find this podcast, just in case maybe you want to tell a couple of friends, all right? It's available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, as well as iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Radio.com app, the Echo Network, just basically wherever you find podcasts, just search for the PVD cast, or sometimes you have to add my name, the PVD cast, John Orlando, and you're probably going to find it. So before I wrap up real quick, I just want to remind everybody that also Audible is a great sponsor of this podcast. And you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. So all you got to do is simply just go over to audibletrial.com/PVDcast and you too can get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.